Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners, welcome to Radio Islam International with myself, Ubaidullah Boja, and we're on the Ulama profile for extended time this week, speaking about the great, the giant, the majestic, Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Saab Kapodrawi, rahmatullahi alayh. I must say we have a full lineup this evening, and we have quite a bit of information. Perhaps even if we take out the time that we have, we're going to be rushed for time. So we're going to get straight into it, insha'Allah ta'ala, this evening. I must say and place on record my special thanks to Maulana Junaid from the At-Tabligh website. He's been instrumental in getting quite a bit of the information, the clips, the recordings, the necessary details that we would be able to get for the life of Maulana Abdullah rahmatullahi alayh, and a very special thanks to a friend of mine, Maulana Junaid Saab from At-Tabligh. We have today online, just to give you an understanding what the program is, Qari Ayyub Ishaq Saab, who's not feeling very well, but he's taken out his time to speak about his ustad, Maulana Abdullah Saab. So Qari Saab will begin the program, inshallah ta'ala. Once Qari Saab is finished, then inshallah, if Maulana Bam is not too busy, he's got some visitors, we will be taking Maulana Ibrahim Bam. After that, inshallah, we take the 9 p.m. news. Once the news is done, inshallah, we have Maulana Limbada, inshallah, from the UK that will be joining us. What that after that, inshallah, we will have our ustad, Hazrat Maulana Abbas ibn Adam Sarigat, that will be speaking. After that, inshallah, all the recordings that we've received, and we received quite a few. Maulana Junaid, he sent his own. We have Maulana Muaz Kapotrawi, Maulana's grandson. We have Mufti Badoli, we have Mufti Tahir Surti. So we have quite a bit of recordings, inshallah. Some of them I've managed to take down the points as well. As the program goes along, we hope to share some of it and some fascinating things that has come about from the life of Maulana Abdullah, rahmatullahi alayh. But before I go into it, and obviously the most befitting person from us to speak is our Honorable Ustad, Hazrat Qari Ayyub Saab. Hazrat Qari Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Qari Saab,
to you and to the listeners.
We've lost a great individual. We've met him a few times. Obviously, you stayed in the madrasa. What can you share with us regarding the great Maulana Abdullah Saab Kapodrawi, rahmatullahi alayh?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you say, I had the opportunity in the latter part of the 70s and in the early part of the 80s to mid-80s, for a period of roughly 8 years, I spent at Darul Uloom Falah Darain, which was at that stage under the principalship of Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Saab Kapodrawi. Now we are saying Rahmatullahi Alayh. It was that part of the Darul Uloom Falah Darain, or that in that setup, this institute scaled many heights during his tenure, in his tenure as principal, and then after that he was appointed as Raisul Jamia, and he remained so for many years. In 3 decades almost, alhamdulillah, this institute, it was put on the map by Hazrat Maulana. Very unknown, not so well known institute prior to that, but alhamdulillah, with his effort. Maulana, I don't want to go into his history in the sense of where he was born and where he studied and who were his teachers and all the rest of it.
Okay.
There have been some write-ups that have been going around, and I think many people have read that. Rather than that, I would like to touch on some of Maulana's attributes and his qualities and things that I have learnt and seen of this great individual. We can sum it up in one short word, that he was Jami'ul Kamalat, which means that he was a man of many skills and a paragon of virtue and learning. Now, when I say he was a paragon of virtue and learning, he was on one side a very virtuous individual, very paband of the sunnah, and very mindful of his times of salah, and ensuring not only that he himself performed the salah on time, but rather all those who were under his care, the students and others. he would always enjoin Salah and ensure, not to the extent that he would personally, as a principal, there were people who were employed at the institute to ensure that students are awoken at the time of Salah at Fajr and its Zuhr time. But it was Maulana, and some of the Ustaz even pointed out to him that, Maulana, why are you, toiling to this extent?
Gee.
That early in the morning, well before the Fajr Azan, which used to take place 40-45 minutes before the actual Salah, Maulana used to leave his home and be in the madrasa prior to the Azan, that means almost an hour sometimes before Fajr, and he would engage in his tilawat and so on. But he made a point of ensuring that he himself personally oversaw that students are woken up, and he himself would somehow sometimes frequent the dormitories and ensure that students are woken up. This was the kind of fikr that he had. So on one hand, his spirituality, and on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him with great learning. Amongst his most salient features that I can count and count, and I was in a few, Maulana was an individual associated with ilm, with knowledge, with books, and he was always one who was looking for what he can learn at any given time. He never stopped reading, he never stopped studying. When we went to his office while we were students, there was always a pile of periodicals, magazines, newspapers, and books, of course, recently published Arabic periodicals from throughout the Gulf. And whenever we did go there and we sat in his presence, he would pick up a magazine and say, listen, there is a magazine coming from Kuwait, or it's coming from here or there. And I read a very beautiful article in it, and he will relate that article and explain some of the new terminologies and words that are used in the Arabic language. This was a passion that he had, that language, the Arabic language itself. So much so that Maulana's passion for ilm was to such an extent and for knowledge that he, wherever he went, in whichever part of the world, he visited libraries across the globe, and he kept abreast of newly published books and a cross section of subjects. I remember 2 or 3 years ago when I visited him in India, and he had just returned from Canada. So I went and sat in his presence, and then he called out to his son Maulana Ismail, bring that book from there, the notebook. So he brought it, and then he paged through it, and he found a name of a book in Tajweed, because he knows that was the subject that I studied, and this is what I teach. So he remembered, even at that place in a library so far off, that let me write this name down and pass it over to someone who may appreciate that. This was the kind of the feelings that he had towards his students in whichever field it was. So various subjects, he had books on every subject. If he found an article that he read of interest or relevance to educators especially, he would make a point of making a photocopy of that, and numbers of photocopies, and sending them around to people whom he felt may benefit from those articles and copies of those articles. And if he found a book that was useful and he felt it may be useful to ustads of a Darul Uloom or to administrators in the Darul, he will purchase a number of those books and he will distribute it free of charge. This was a passion that he had, and this was his life. He had amassed a huge library. And in my the most recent visit, which was in March, after we met him for the last time, this was the last time I met him, he said, we were on our way from there to the city, Surat, and he said that whilst you are on your way, just bypass the library that has been established, and I have donated and contributed all those books to that library. Go and just have a look at it. And when I went there, I was surprised. And the visitor's book was presented to me, and this is what I wrote there, that I always knew, and I was aware of the fact that he was a lover of books, and he amassed a great, library as far as that is concerned. But I had no idea that you know, to what extent and what numbers of those books were. There is an entire library that has been established in his name, and he gave over his entire collection during his lifetime for posterity to benefit from. So this was Maulana, and this is how he was with ilm and knowledge and books. And this is something that, you know, is something stark we have seen, and this is something that he always spoke about. Whenever you sat with him, that was what he spoke about, and he just loved to speak about it. He will tell you the latest publications, certain books have been just recently published and so on. The second quality of Maulana which I'd like to bring to the fore is that he was in Urdu, if there is a term that is used, that is called Mardum Shanasi.
Mardum Shanasi.
Mardum Shanasi, which simply means that he had this uncanny ability to identify talents and skills in people. When he looked at an individual and he spoke to him for a few moments, he will sum up that individual and he'll tell you what capabilities this person has, what type of intelligence he has. And when he found a student to be struggling with something, he will assist him, he will give him certain things to write, and then he will keep coming back, checking on it. And when he found somebody who had certain brilliance in certain field, then he will encourage and support that student in every way, and he will take him to the greatest heights that is possible. This was what Maulana, he identified with such talents and such skills that he found in people, and then he appointed them, and he pointed them in directions where they could go and serve. And he pointed to people in Darul Uloom that we have so and so as a student, and he has these talents, he will be useful for you, he will send them there. And in this way, he found people. And I know for a fact, he was a man who went out looking for the best. When it came to the Darul Uloom Falah-e Darain, the ustad that we were honored to have had at that time was the entire doing of Hazrat Maulana, in that he traveled the length and breadth of the subcontinent, and then he found the best as far as he could in every field, and he brought them to Darul Uloom, and we benefited from these great scholars. Amongst them, of course, my own ustad, whom I had benefited a great deal from, was Qari Anis Ahmad. And he used to relate the story how he went from place to place looking for an individual. He says, I wasn't looking for a Qari who was a stage Qari who could sit on the stage and recite Quran. I was looking for somebody who had who knew the intricacies of this field. And when he put the conditions before him, Qari Anis Ahmad Sahib, when he put the conditions that I am prepared to come so long as there are students who are interested in this field, but I have certain conditions, and one of the conditions was that I will not perform salah ever, and I will not read a qiraat in a gathering. So, you know, I mean, when he brought him and came, people are saying, what kind of qari is this, you know? But Maulana knew the value of the individual, and he didn't look at all these, this fringe stuff. He looked at the real thing, that this was a man who had this field and who could impart it to the students. And alhamdulillah, in this way, he amassed a great deal of talent in the Darul Uloom, and that's what took Darul Uloom Falah-e Darain to the heights that it was taken. The other very outstanding feature of Hazrat Maulana was punctuality. He disliked making people wait as well as waiting for people. Time, according to him, you know, he used to relate this. He says, you know, in English, you people say, we used to tell us, in English, you people say, time is money. He says that is not true. He says, in Arabic, there is a better saying, and he used to say, al-waqtu huwa al-haya. Al-waqtu huwa al-haya means time is life. Every minute that goes by is a minute of your life that is expiring. And so he would always speak about valuing time and being punctual about things. I recall when I was in Toronto many years ago, Hazrat invited me for breakfast one morning at 9 o'clock. And the people who were supposed to be transporting me there, I asked them, you know, how long does it take from where we are to get to Maulana's place? So they said 20 minutes. So, I 45 minutes before, I told these people, I said, let us depart already. So they kept telling me, this is too early. What are we going to go and do? I said, you don't know. I know Hazrat Maulana. I know how he works. So in any case, we arrived at his place 10 minutes before. And I told them, I said, we will sit in the vehicle until it's 9 o'clock and then we will enter. But his son saw me through the window. And then he came and called me, and I sat with Maulana for 10 minutes. Exactly at 9 o'clock, he calls to his son and says, you need to dish out the food. So he responded by saying that so-and-so Maulana and this another Maulana have also been invited, and they haven't arrived yet. So he said, but these people are Maulana also here. We were his students. Yet he said that these people, they are also Mehman. They are our guests, and they are seated here already. We cannot keep them waiting because somebody else is late. This was the type of punctuality that Hazrat Maulana had, and I've seen it on so many different occasions. It's something to learn from this punctuality that he possessed. Another thing that he always said, and this will resound with many of the students of Darul Falah Darin, and many who know this sentence so well, and this is how he used to address the students and say, Mauli Sahab, zindagi mein discipline hona chahiye. Zindagi mein discipline hona chahiye. That you need to be disciplined in your life. Your time management is very important. You cannot be whiling your time away. Just as I said previously, that he used to say, Al-waqtuhu al-haya, that your time is your life. So if you are disciplined, your time is going to be utilized correctly. And Maulana was a stickler for cleanliness. Cleanliness was this is our deen. Our deen teaches cleanliness, and Maulana ensured that the Darulum at any given time was clean. And so a few years back when he visited our shores here, and I invited him to come to our madrasa in Peter Marisburg Madrasa Tartil al-Quran. So I originally intended to go when Maulana was present there, but the people in charge there, you know, they insisted that I need to be there. And so I told them beforehand, I said, ensure that all the ablution facilities are absolutely spotless. So they didn't understand why am I saying this, but anyway, they made sure it was cleansed. And when I arrived there, well before Maulana finally arrived at the madrasa, when he came in and I took him around to show him the madrasa, he first thing told me, "Istinja khane kahan hai? Where are the toilets?" So we took him into the staff toilets, you know, the ustad's toilets. He said, "Are these the common toilets used by the students?" We said, "No." So he said, "Where are those toilets?" So we took him on the other side. And he walked in there, and he looked from one end to the other, and he came out, and this was his verdict. Ke jis idare mein istinja khane saaf ho, to wo idara aur dusri jagah bhi saaf hoga. That institute whose toilet and the ablution block is clean, you can expect that the rest of it will also be clean. And this I saw, and he used to relate this when the Vice Chancellor of Medina University visited Falah-e Darin when we were students there. On one occasion, the Vice Chancellor, Sheikh Muhammad Majzoub, he said to Maulana, "I need to use the toilet." So he directed him to the toilet that was used by the Ustad. So he said, no, I don't want to go to this toilet. I want to go to the toilet that is used by everyone, by the students especially. So he said, "I didn't understand why is he insisting on going to this toilet." And so he said, we escorted him there. And he went into the toilet, looked at it, and he came out. He didn't use the toilet. So when he came back to the office and sat him down, so he says, "What was that about?" So he says, "I need you to see your level of cleanliness." When I remembered the story, and then exactly the same thing happened so many years later, I witnessed it, that he himself looked at the toilets and to see what was the level of cleanliness and the neatness of the madrasa. He looked at everything. So much so, I took him up the stairs. Look at the sharpness of this individual. When he looks at everything. He took three or four steps going upstairs, two or three of the steps, and he stopped and he looked at me. So I looked at him and I waited. I said, "Hazrat Nisi is going to say something now." So I had an inquiring look on my face. So he said, that these steps are made very correctly. Your steps, whenever they are made, it must be able to take your entire foot on the step, number one. Number two is, he said that the height of each one of those steps must be exactly the same. You cannot have one step big and one small and high and low, because that can cause somebody to trip and fall. This is the type of an eye he had for, you know, and for perfection, that even in that staircase, he found something, you know, to commend the people who actually had it built. And in neatness, when it comes, you know, if you walked any time into his office, you looked at his desk, you look at the entire office and the surrounds, you will find not a book or a magazine or a piece of paper out of place. This was the type of neatness that he possessed. So much so that many, many years later, and this filters down, it filters down. I was in Toronto and I happened to stay over at his granddaughter's place, his daughter's daughter. And, you know, I arrived back one evening and I found my laundry, and it was placed so neatly on the bed that I was forced to comment that she is the granddaughter of somebody who has this type of neatness. And then when I told him about it, he smiled. He says, this is something that, you know, I am passionate about, and so much so that even his offspring, not only his offspring, his grandchildren have taken up those qualities. Maulana, another one point, in the last one or two points that I'm going to make, is that Maulana had a great amount of respect, even for his juniors. One of the ustads of Darul Falah Darin, Hazrat Maulana Abrar Ahmad Sahib, who was a ustad of hadith and then became Sheikhul Hadith later on, during the tenure of Maulana, and while we were students there, he was not the Sheikhul Hadith. He had studied certain kitabs with Maulana as a student in Dabel, when Maulana was the ustad in Dabel. And then Maulana himself knew the value and the worth of his own student, Sheikh Maulana Abrar Sahib, and he brought him here to Darul Falah Darin to come and teach at the madrasa. And whenever he referred to him, although he was his student, he would refer to him as Sheikh Abrar. Although he was not the Sheikhul Hadith, but he always referred to him as Sheikh Abrar. You know, giving us, teaching us basically through that when you find somebody who has certain attributes and certain qualities, you need to be able to accept that. Not only accept it, you must be able to identify it, and you must be encouraging of it, and so on. So he would encourage this, even the juniors amongst his students and people who were not even his students. So he would refer with a great amount of respect even to his juniors. And he had intense love for the Akabir. I've heard so many times the story when Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani rahmatullah alayh, during his young days, when Hazrat came to Gujarat, and how he had taken up a new post in a job, and he left it and spent an entire month with Hazrat Sheikhul Islam Madani rahmatullah alayh, because his intense love. And whenever he spoke about him, with such love and enthusiasm, when he spoke about Hazrat Sheikh rahmatullah alayh, Hazrat Maulana Raipuri rahmatullah alayh, and so many of the other great akabir, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi, and Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib rahmatullah alayh, he had great amount of respect and intense love for these akabir. And this is why whenever he found, when he got an opportunity, he would go and spend time with them. And when we were students, he invited Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib rahmatullah alayh and brought him on a tour of Gujarat and stayed with him for the entire tour. From Jalalabad, he brought him all the way and returned with him and left Hazrat back in his hometown. This was the kind of love that he had for his akabir. Whenever he did mention Hazrat Sheikh Hazrat Madani rahmatullah alayh, I've seen him on so many occasions that his eyes would well up with tears. So this was the greatness of this man, and we speak with him, about him, you know, as students, as his students, to such an extent that it brought somebody down to say this, that I have not heard the graduates of any seminary, any madrasa in recent times speak so fondly of their principal, like how the fudala, the graduates of Darul Uloom Falah Darain, speak of their principal. And this is in all honesty, I mean, I only have good words for him, and I have learned so much from him. And I am sure that all those who studied at some time or the other, or came into contact with him at some time or the other, may have learned great things from him. He had a great amount of tolerance for his contemporaries. This was a very important aspect. Great amount of tolerance for contemporaries, regardless of the fact that they may differ in opinion in certain matters. But there was never a word, never a word we heard from his lips he's saying, you know, something about some contemporary in a denigrating way, or saying something negative about somebody in all my life, in all my acquaintance with him. I have never come across an occasion, on any occasion, him saying anything negative about anybody for that matter. He may have differed with certain people, and maybe certain people may have differed with him, but that did not impact his relationship with those individuals. Allah grant us the tawfiq to have this broadness of chest to be able to accept others' opinions and with a clean heart to be able to associate with them and to speak good about such people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Hazrat the highest stages in Jannah. Amen. May Allah Amen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to emulate some of these great qualities that he has. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant his family and his offspring and all those who associate with him sabr jameel. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Respected listeners, that was our Ustad Al-Qari Ayyub Ishaq Sahab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Speaking about his Ustad and his principal, Maulana Abdullah Sahab Kapodravi rahmatullahi alayh. We carry on with the program. Stay tuned. Don't get off the dial. It will only get interesting, inshallah ta'ala. We take the 9 PM news, and when we return, we shall carry on, inshallah. Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Sahab Kapodravi rahmatullahi alayh, a very great scholar that had passed on last week. There is so much to say. The amount that I have to say probably will take up the better part of an hour. But we have three great guests that are online with us, and we will start with a very famous voice on a Thursday, normally from 9 to 10 in the morning, but we have him at 9 in the evening today. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the listeners. And Maulana Ubaidullah, an honor to be on your program, which alhamdulillah over the years has gained so much traction that people look forward to it.
No, Maulana, it's just the sacrifices of all our senior ulama, the junior, the ulama. Maulana, we're speaking about Maulana Abdullah Kapodravi rahmatullah alayhi, someone you've met on a few occasions as well. What are some of your interactions and some of your lessons that we could share with regards to the listeners about this great august individual?
Maulana was an amazing, amazing human being and a very, very great scholar. Sometimes, you know, it seems so sad that we remember a person after he passes on and we don't value him when he's alive. Maulana was amongst those who was not only one of our great scholars, one of our great akabirs, but also someone who was so well informed about contemporary realities and about contemporary challenges. While my action was seen was limited interaction, I had the good fortune of having meals with Maulana at his residence in Canada, in Toronto. And together with that, also in his village, where Maulana not only hosted us, but then personally took me to the school which he had established, which was an amalgamation of both contemporary studies, what we normally term as secular, and also with an Islamic flavor. And I will, inshallah, be making mention of it. His muhabbat and his encouragement to us juniors is something that we will always treasure and we will miss. Maulana, despite his hectic schedule and despite his stature, many a times, not only, you know, occasionally, but many a times, when he used to be at a place, sometimes used to tell people, phone Maulana and tell him and give him this message. After the Mandela speech, he sent a message. Last year when he was in UK, he was having meals with someone. Someone said that he knew me, so he said, phone him now and tell him. And I spoke to him for a little while and give him this message. So this was Maulana in terms of his encouragement to all sectors of the community, the youth, the ulama, the juniors. And Maulana used to take a keen interest. I was listening to the Bayan Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri, Madazilu Ali, gave at the janaza of Maulana Abdullah Kapudri, he said the very same thing. Maulana took a keen interest in all affairs of deen, in all aspects of deen. And he took a keen interest in everyone's activity without having a sense of competition. He just encouraged everyone and used to feel so happy with everyone's different activities. So among the things that was, you know, quite amazing with Maulana was his simplicity. Despite his great stature, he was, you know, so simple. Punctual, you can't imagine. I mean, amongst us, many times we don't value the time that we give and in terms of being punctual. What Maulana, if they told him that you're going to come and fetch him at 8 o'clock, 10 to 8, he used to start walking around waiting for you because you have given the time that you are coming to fetch him at 8 o'clock. No pretension, no takalluf. Encouraging, and one amazing aspect with regard to him, how well informed and well read he was. In fact, one of his constant cry was that ulama do not read and keep up with trends and do not keep up with regard to, you know, research. When he used to go to European cities and used to go to many of the cities in which they have got good libraries, one of his first things that he used to ask his host, take me to the library. He used to go to the library, read and see what books they've got. And he used to see the Islamic books. He used to come back and complain to the local ulama and say, why don't you people go and put authentic books on Islam in the library? Why don't you keep a relationship with the library? Why is it that when we go to the library, we see books from other different types of makatib al-fikr, from different types of thoughts, and our type of book would show the beauty of Islam is not presented to the libraries. I remember him one day telling me that he was looking for a manuscript of a particular book and he searched for it in the library in different, you know, Islamic cities. And, you know, he could not find it. And he found that manuscript in one of the libraries, I think my memory serves me correct, in one of the libraries in North America. That was how well read. And he used to read the newspapers. He used to comment on it in his bayans. He used to read kitabs. The last time when we went to Kapodri to his, you know, his village, he gave me a book on hadith. And he said, I normally, one of the sections with regard to the periodicals that come, one of the most interesting sections I read is to look at the new books that are coming out and to see what type of books and on what subject is coming out. So he was a person was very well read, keeping informed with regard to the new books that were published. Also someone who loved the Akabir. Now I had read, I mean, alhamdulillah, there are a few books that have recently come. Some of his mawa'iz and his lectures have been put and have been published both in Urdu and in English. You know, and once I read one book in which he narrated one incident of his personal interaction when he was very young with Shaykhul Islam, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Matin Rahmatullah Ali. So when he came to the Jamiatul Ulama offices, Maulana, are you with me?
Si, Maulana, I'm with you.
Right. So when he came to the Jamiat office, I said, Maulana, I read this waqia, an incident that you have narrated. I would like you to relate it to me because I want to listen to it from you personally. And he narrated it, and I said, well, I enjoyed that. And he said, when I was 12 years of age, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Mati Rahmatullah Ali came to Gujarat. And Maulana went to the different places in Gujarat after partition, reassuring people and telling them that after partition, don't feel anxious. The Allah that is in India is the same Allah that is in Pakistan and throughout the world. If you remain steadfast upon your deen, Allah will protect you here in India, because there was a time of being people were anxious. Will their lives be spared? Will their property be spared after partition? So Maulana went, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Mati Rahmatullah Ali went, and he said, came back 12, 1 o'clock, I asked the organizers, put me in a room, I want to make khidmat, they put me in a room. He said, Maulana came into the room, a bed was made out and laid out for him, he didn't sleep on that, he had a small bedding he used to bring from Deoband, he laid that out and he slept. So although he came 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, in the early hours of the morning, 3, 4 o'clock, I heard someone crying like a baby.
Yeah,
I was like young, I was quite surprised, I said, who is crying? So I got up, I saw Muhammad Nira Matul Ali crying in tahajjud, in front of Allah, crying for the ummah. So because he wrote that, and it was his personal one, I wanted to listen to it from him directly, and he narrated to me. So this was how he was, and then he had a remarkable sense of balance. His etidal was amazing, his balance and his moderation. So he used to, you know, in his latest volume 3 of his Mawa'iz, which has been printed in English, there is one whole chapter where he speaks about the aspects of the Darul Ulooms and the Madaris.
Gee.
If they are going to be eliminated, what a great harm it will be to the deen. But yet at the same time, he used to encourage people with regard to what we call contemporary knowledge, secular knowledge. He used to say that a Muslim school is not that which is run by Muslim. A Muslim school is that which has got a culture of Islam in that particular school. So he said, create schools with contemporary knowledge and do it in an Islamic culture and Islamic environment. He had one school in his village, and he used to, when he takes the visitors, he takes them with such great enthusiasm and zeal, showing them that we've got top of the range in terms of, you know, the science lab, the library. So he had this remarkable balance for the ummah. And I remember also one of his talks and one of his stuff, he says that when he goes to UK, etc., when many of the youngsters afterwards comes to him with any of the queries, he says he spent extra time listening to the complaints and the queries, because he had such, you know, love for the youth and for university students and the challenges that they are facing. So this was Hazrat Maulana. I can't, you know, say how much we will miss his influence, and the message that he had is so important in today's time, to be able to have that encouragement to people, that interaction with different segments of the community, wishing well for everyone in whatever type of work that they are doing, that aspect of balance. It is something that we should, you know, take it to our hearts and put it into practice the way Hazrat Maulana used to have those things with such enthusiasm that he displayed on those aspects.
You know, Maulana, one interesting thing, I was with Maulana Abbas Abjina, and he was telling me that one of the greater people that supported and that gave advice and courage towards the Jamiatul Ulama was Maulana Abdullah Sahib from the initial stages, and he would continuously inquire and find out and make suggestions towards the Jamia of the Jamiatul Ulama, just so that we know that the Maulana's support was there right till the end as well, even though we were at the southern tip of Africa and Maulana was traveling the world as well.
Even when he was ill, he came for the Bukhari Khatam of Ones of the Jamia, and he gave valuable suggestions. And just to show you how he had, he was also of the view, he said, you know, get visiting scholars. He said that you find in university, you have a scholar who comes who is an expert in something. So he comes for 3-4 months and he gives, you know, in his field of expertise, he comes and gives lesson to the student. He says, sometimes if you know that there is an expert in the Muslim world with regard to something, call him. Call him to teach your students with regard to contemporary issues. And this was his, you know, remarkable, as I said, his balance and being well-researched, well-read, and also having a very vast, you know, aspect with regard to having... One of the concerns that he had was, and something that I read in his latest, the books in the, you know, his volume 3 in terms of his lectures that has been published in English. So he said that the ulama also, in terms of the difference of opinion, should not display it in such a way that causes a bad impression to the people. And he gave an example of Akbar. Akbar was, of course, the Mughal ruler. He said, when Akbar assumed the throne, Akbar was someone who was not well read. He was an ignorant person. He was not, you know, educated. So he used to call different ulama for advice. But many a times what actually happened was that in those, you know, gatherings, many a time some of the ulama, not all of them, some of them started attacking one another. So Akbar became disillusioned. And when he became disillusioned, he started off his own deen, because of how Maulana puts it, and anyone can go and read it, disillusionment with regard to the difference of opinion and the way it is portrayed. So Maulana had this, you know, remarkable type of concern for every aspect of deen, every activity of deen, and had a very wide range of passion with regard to his reading, and had an encouraging attitude towards every aspect that is required in the Muslim Ummah.
SubhanAllah. Maulana, I know you got visitors. I won't keep you up anymore. Jazakallah so much for your time this evening.
And Jazakallah for this wonderful program, and also for this great personality, may Allah Ta'ala discover with more, may Allah Ta'ala elevate his status, and then as well as the Tawfiq has been able to imbibe within us some of his great qualities.
Ameen, inshallah. It was Maulana Ibrahim Bam, and Maulana was speaking about some of his interactions with regards to Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Kapodrawi Rahmatullahi Alayh. I have so much information, I haven't yet even began starting it. Perhaps just some of the aspects that I want to speak about, and this is obviously some of the things that I've been taking off from the lectures that I've been hearing. Well, Maulana Bam also made mention of it, but this year Maulana Junaid from a Tabligh website was saying, he says that choto ke baro ke samne chota banna aasan hai. That to lower yourself in front of seniors, it's easy, because you know you have to lower it because of the august personality in who you are speaking to. But choto ke saath chota banna mushkil hai. But with the lower segment, the younger generation, those that are below you, to lower yourself to their level is very difficult. And that was something that was very common, particular in the life of Maulana Abdullah Sahab Kapodrawi Rahmatullahi Alayh. Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Sahab Khanpuri Rahmatullahi Alayh made mention, and he, Mufti Sahab said something which was very amazing. He said that whenever Maulana Abdullah Sahab knew of a person that was in difficulty, he would hasten to make sure that that person's difficulty was resolved, because even if it means he had to make sifarish or he had to do something, but even if it was just not a contemporary, not a youngster, but just some Muslim in difficulty, it would pain Maulana, and hence he would make an effort to make sure that Maulana, whatever the difficulty that person is going through, it is resolved. Now we're going to have a small lecture in the Urdu language, and it's going to be live. Please, listeners, do not leave us. Bear with us. It's something which is extremely important and valuable, and perhaps the information shared will always motivate us. If time permits, we will, inshallah, try then and give a brief summary. After that, inshallah, we have about 4 or 5 clips that we've kept ready. This will go on to after the 10 p.m. news as well. Our engineer Usama will be playing it for us, inshallah. Some of it is English, some of it is in the Urdu language, about Maulana Abdullah Sahab Kapodrawi Rahmatullahi Alayh. And hopefully, inshallah, this will prove to be extremely beneficial to the listeners of Radio Islam International. Ab is waqt, inshallah, muaddabana darkhas kar lete hai ki hamare ustad muarrikhe waqt muqarrir Darul Uloom Zakariya Hazrat Maulana Abbas Sahab tashreef farma hai. Hazrat Maulana Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ji, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, subah Gujarat mein ulama ki ta'adad hai, kafi hai, lekin unme se rais ul jamia Maulana Abdullah Sahab ka podrawi rahmatullahi alayhi jo abhi intiqal farma chuke hai, unki zindagi ke bare mein ab agar kuch tafsira farmayenge to sameen bahut mustafid honge inshaallah.
Jazakum Allah ta'ala. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اذكروا محاسن موتاكم. ریڈیو اسلام پر مفکر ملت حضرت مولانا عبداللہ صاحب مرحوم اور مغفور کے متعلق اس وقت ان کی زندگی کے حالات سننے والے تمام سامعین کرام، مجھ سے ہمارے عزیز مولانا عبیداللہ بھوجا صاحب نے درخواست کی کہ اس سعادت میں بھی شریک ہو جاؤں اور حضرت مفکر ملت کے متعلق چند باتیں اپنے جو ذاتی تاثرات ہیں اس کو پیش کرنے کی سعادت حاصل کروں. صورتحال یہ ہے کہ حضرت کی وفات پر تقریباً اب 10 دن ہونے جا رہے ہیں، اور الحمدللہ گجرات کے مختلف مدارس میں حضرت کے متعلق تعزیتی اجلاسات منعقد ہو چکے ہیں. فلاح دارین میں بھی ایک اجلاس منعقد ہوا، خود حضرت کے گاؤں کاپودرہ میں بھی ایک اجلاس منعقد ہو چکا ہے، دارالعلوم ماتلی والا، جامعہ قاسمیہ کھرور اور جامعہ الحق کٹھور، یہ تمام مدارس میں الحمدللہ اجلاسات منعقد ہو چکے ہیں. اسی طریقے سے ہندوستان کے باہر کینیڈا ٹورنٹو جامعہ ابو بکر میں اور لندن لیسٹر دعوت الحق میں اور اسلامک اکادمی حضرت مولانا محمد سلیم صاحب دوراج صاحب یہ تمام جگہ کے اوپر میں الحمدللہ تعزیتی اجلاسات منعقد ہو چکے ہیں اور حضرت کی وفات ہی کے دن یہاں گزشتہ منگل کو عشاء کی نماز کے بعد احکر نے بھی تفصیل کے ساتھ ایک تقریر اسی موقع کے اوپر میں تازہ واقعہ ہونے کی وجہ سے عرض کر دی تھی اور سنیچر کے پروگرام میں اس کو نشر بھی کیا گیا تھا، لیکن اس کے بعد بھی مجھ سے درخواست کی گئی ہے کہ حضرت مولانا کے متعلق اگر کچھ پہلو ذہن کے اندر میں ہو تو ذکر کر دیے جائیں۔ اس وقت حضرت کے متعلق جو ذہن میں باتیں ہیں انتہائی اختصار کے ساتھ اور مختصر در مختصر کرتے ہوئے میں چند باتیں عرض کروں گا، امید ہے کہ سامعین کے لیے مفید ثابت ہوگی۔ ہر آدمی کے دیکھنے کا انداز اور ہر آدمی کے اخذ کرنے کا انداز علیحدہ ہوتا ہے، مستقل ہوتا ہے، ہر آدمی کی اپنی ایک پسند ہوتی ہے۔ میں نے حضرت کی زندگی سے جو سبق لیے ہیں اجمالی طور پر اس میں سے دو چار باتیں عرض کرتا ہوں۔ سب جانتے ہیں کہ حضرت مولانا کی ولادت جو ہے وہ 1933 میں، پھر حضرت نے رسمی طور پر جو فراغت حاصل کی جامعہ اسلامیہ تعلیم الدین دابیل سے وہ 1953 میں، 1953 کے بعد سے لے کر کے 60 تک مختلف مدارس کے ساتھ اور مختلف تنظیموں کے ساتھ وہ وابستہ رہے۔ 1961 میں وہ جامعہ اسلامیہ تعلیم الدین دابیل کے ساتھ منسلک ہوئے۔ 1966 میں جب دارالعلوم فلاح دارین کی بنیاد پڑی، حضرت مولانا دابیل سے فلاح دارین ترکے سر تشریف لائے اور یہاں تقریباً حضرت نے 25 سال تک یا 27 سال تک اپنا تاریخی اہتمام وہاں پر فرمایا۔ اس کے بعد رسمی طور پر اگرچہ حضرت وہاں سے علیحدہ ہو گئے اور سال کے اندر میں تقریباً 6 مہینے حضرت کا قیام ٹورنٹو میں ہوتا تھا اور 6 مہینے اپنے گاؤں کاپودرا میں ہوتا تھا، اور ہم سب جانتے ہیں کہ کاپودرا ایک چھوٹا سا گاؤں ہے، وہاں علم کی ایسی کوئی سرگرمیاں نہیں تھی، وہاں کوئی جامعہ بھی نہیں تھا، وہاں کوئی دارالعلوم بھی نہیں تھا، اور جہاں تک ٹورنٹو کا حال ہے میں ذاتی طور پر جانتا ہوں حضرت کا وہ مکان جہاں حضرت ٹورنٹو میں مقیم ہوتے تھے، میں پچھلے 10 سال سے حضرت کے ساتھ وہاں پر ملاقات کرتا تھا۔ ان دونوں جگہ کے اوپر میں علمی ماحول نہ ہونے کے باوجود اور علمی سرگرمیاں نہ ہونے کے باوجود ماحول میں آدمی کے لیے کام کرنا آسان ہوتا ہے، لیکن یہ دونوں جگہ کے اوپر میں کوئی خاص علمی ماحول نہ ہونے کے باوجود حضرت نے زندگی کے آخری سانس تک اپنے آپ کو علم کے ساتھ وابستہ رکھا۔ یہ حضرت کا اتنا بڑا کمال ہے یا ایک درجے کے اندر میں اس کو کرامت کہنا چاہیے کہ علم ماحول کے اندر میں نہ ہونے کے باوجود انہوں نے اپنے آپ کو علم کے ساتھ وابستہ رکھا اور زندگی کے آخری سانس تک انہوں نے اپنے آپ کو علم کے ساتھ وابستہ رکھا۔ یہ ایک ہمیں سبق لینا چاہیے، بعض مرتبہ علمی ماحول میں ہوتے ہوئے بھی ہمارا مطالعہ محدود رہ جاتا ہے، ہمارے مطالعے کی مقدار بہت کم رہ جاتی ہے، اور یہاں حضرت کا حال یہ ہے کہ نہ تدریس کی ذمہ داری ہے اور نہ امامت کی ذمہ داری ہے، لیکن اس کے باوجود بھی انہوں نے اپنے آپ کو آخری سانس تک علم کے ساتھ وابستہ رکھا اور گویا اپنے عمل سے یہ بتایا کہ علم کا سلسلہ ماں کی گود سے شروع ہوتا ہے اور قبر کے اندر میں جانے تک باقی رہتا ہے۔ المحبرتوں دوات جو ہیں وہ پہلے دن سے ہاتھ کے اندر میں لی اور قبر تک اس کو باقی رکھا، یہ حضرت کی زندگی سے پہلا سبق ہمیں لینا چاہیے۔ دوسرے نمبر پر یہ ہے کہ اگرچہ حضرت کا تعلق ایک خاص ادارے کے ساتھ تھا لیکن آپ ایک عالمی فکر کے آدمی تھے اور انہوں نے اپنی اس فکر کو فلاح دارین تک محدود نہیں رکھا بلکہ گجرات کے جتنے بھی مدارس تھے بلکہ کہا جا سکتا ہے کہ گجرات کے باہر بھی ہندوستان اور بیرون ہند بھی جتنے بھی مدارس عربیہ تھے وہ مدارس عربیہ کے ساتھ انہوں نے تعلق باقی رکھا. جہاں ضرورت پیش آئی کوئی مشورہ دینے کی کوئی مشورہ طلب کریں نہ کریں لیکن اگر کوئی مناسب بات ان کے ذہن میں آئی وہ اس سلسلے میں زردہ برابر بخلص سے کام نہیں لیتے تھے. تیسرے نمبر پر جو بات حضرت کے اندر میں خاص طور کے اوپر میں پائی جاتی ہیں اور اکثر تبصرہ کرنے والوں نے بیان کرنے والوں نے کہا اس میں حضرت کی خرد نوازی یعنی اپنے جو چھوٹے ہوتے ہیں ان چھوٹوں کو آگے بڑھانا ان کو نوازنا ان کو ترقی کی راہوں کے اوپر میں لے جانا یہ ایک بات تیسرے نمبر پر حضرت کے اندر میں پائی جاتی تھی. چوتھے نمبر کے اوپر میں وسعت ظرفی جس کے نتیجے کے اندر میں تشجیح کسی آدمی نے تھوڑا سا بھی اچھا کام کیا ہو تو اس اچھے کام کے اوپر میں اس آدمی کی ہمت افزائی کرنا اس کو آگے بڑھانا اگر کچھ غلطیاں بھی اس کے اندر میں رہ گئی ہیں تو حکمت عملی کے ساتھ اس کو درست کرنا اور اس کی ایسی حوصلہ افزائی کرنا کہ یہ حوصلہ افزائی اس آدمی کے ترقی کی راہوں کے اوپر میں گامزن کر دیتا تھا. پانچویں نمبر کے اوپر میں حضرت کا مزاج جو ہے وہ علم کے سلسلے کے اندر میں قناعت کا نہیں تھا بلکہ ان کے اندر میں علم کی نہ بجھنے والی پیاس پائی جاتی تھی اور وہ ہمیشہ اس بات کی کوشش کے اندر میں رہتے تھے کہ ہمیں خوب سے خوب تر کی تلاش کرنی چاہیے. ہم جس مرحلے کے اوپر میں پہنچ چکے ہیں اس مرحلے کے اوپر میں ہمیں قناعت نہیں کرنا چاہیے بلکہ ہمارا ذہن یہ ہونا چاہیے کہ ستاروں سے جہاں آگے اور ہیں اور ہمیں آگے سے آگے بڑھنے کی کوشش کرنا چاہیے. چھٹے نمبر کے اوپر میں کہا جا سکتا ہے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ نے من کان یؤمن باللہ والیوم الآخر فلیکرم ضیفہ مہمان نوازی کی جو صفت ہیں وہ بھی اللہ تعالیٰ نے ان کے اندر میں کوٹ کوٹ کر کے بھری رکھی تھی. گویا ان کے بارے میں کہا جا سکتا ہے وَإِنِّي لَعَبْدُ الزَّيْفِ مَا دَامَ نَازِلًا اگر ان کے یہاں کوئی مہمان آ جاتے ہیں تو آنے والے مہمان کے لیے وہ اپنے آپ کو خادم کی حیثیت سے پیش کرتے تھے. ساتویں نمبر کے اوپر میں کہا جا سکتا ہے کہ علم کی صلاحیت کے ساتھ ساتھ اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ نے انتظامی کاموں کی جو صلاحیت ہے وہ انتظامی کاموں کی صلاحیت بھی اللہ تعالیٰ نے ان کو بھرپور عطا فرمائی تھی. آٹھویں نمبر کے اوپر میں کہا جا سکتا ہے کہ یہ دو باتیں بھی بدرجے اتم ان کے اندر میں پائی جاتی تھیں موقع شناسی اور مزاج شناسی کس موقع کے اوپر میں کیا بات کہنا ہے اور کس آدمی کے ساتھ کیا بات کرنی ہے. ایک عام آدمی کے ساتھ خطاب کا انداز ایک عالم کے ساتھ ایک استاذ کے ساتھ ایک طالب علم کے ساتھ بات کرنے کا انداز کیا ہونا چاہیے حضرت کے یہاں اس سلسلے کے اندر میں فرق مراتب کی جو رعایت کی جاتی تھی یہ فرق مراتب کی رعایت کے اندر میں آ کر ناقص کا خیال ہے کہ شاید ان کا کوئی جوہر اور ان کی کوئی نظیر اور ان کی مثال تلاش کرنا مشکل ہے. یہ ان کا عمل ہمیشہ اس بات کے اوپر میں رہتا تھا کہ کلم الناس علی قدر عقولہم ونزل الناس علی قدر منازلہم جیسا آدمی ہوتا اس اعتبار سے ان کے ساتھ بات کرتے ہیں. اور نمبر نائن کے اوپر میں کہا جا سکتا ہے کہ پوری زندگی حضرت خود بڑے تھے لیکن بڑے ہونے کے باوجود انہوں نے اپنے آپ کو اخیر تک اکابرین امت کے ساتھ وابستہ رکھا حالانکہ وہ خود صاحب مشورہ تھے مشورہ دینے والے تھے لیکن اتنے بڑے ہونے کے باوجود بھی ان کا حال یہ تھا کہ اکابرین امت کے ساتھ اپنے آپ کو وابستہ رکھا اور ہر چھوٹے بڑے کام کے اندر میں بڑوں سے مشورہ کرنا یہ بھی ان کی نمایاں خصوصیت رہی. اور اخیری بات جو میں کہنا چاہتا ہوں کہ اللہ تعالیٰ نے تینوں زبانوں کے اندر میں ان کو کمال عطا فرمایا تھا. الحمدللہ وہ اردو زبان کے اندر میں بھی تقریراً اور تحریراً مہارت رکھتے تھے, عربی زبان میں بھی اللہ تعالیٰ نے ان کو تقریراً اور تحریراً دونوں کے دونوں بات میں اللہ تعالیٰ نے ان کو کمال عطا فرمایا تھا. وہ بڑی بے تکلفی کے ساتھ عربی بول بھی لیتے تھے اور بڑی بے تکلفی کے ساتھ عربی لکھ بھی لیتے تھے. میں نے اپنے ندوے کے قیام کے درمیان میں دیکھا ہے کہ ان سالوں میں جب بھی وہ ندوۃ العلماء تشریف لاتے ہیں, حضرت مولانا سید ابو الحسن علی الندوی رحمہ اللہ, مفکر اسلام, عالم اسلام کی مشہور شخصیت, ان کے بھانجے حضرت مولانا سید محمد رابع صاحب اور حضرت مولانا سید محمد واضح صاحب اور مرحوم کے بہت قریبی دوست الباس الاسلامی کے ایڈیٹر مولانا سعید الرحمان صاحب اعظمی, یہ حضرات وہ ہیں جو ندوۃ العلماء میں ستون کی حیثیت رکھتے تھے, لیکن جب مولانا تشریف لاتے ہیں تو یہ حضرات بھی, حضرت مولانا سید ابو الحسن علی ندوی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ بھی ان کو اپنے قریب کے اندر میں جگہ دیتے ہیں, اپنے پڑوس کے اندر میں بٹھاتے ہیں. اور ایک سیمینار جب وہاں پر ہوا تھا نصاب کے متعلق, تین آدمیوں کی جو کمیٹی اس میں بنائی گئی تھی اخیری فیصلہ کرنے کے لیے, اس میں جن دو آدمیوں کا انتخاب کیا گیا تھا اس میں قاضی مجاہد الاسلام صاحب رحمہ اللہ اور مفکر ملت حضرت مولانا عبداللہ صاحب مرحوم, ان کو بھی اس کمیٹی کے اندر میں شامل کیا گیا تھا. اس سے ہم اندازہ لگا سکتے ہیں کہ ندوۃ العلماء کے وہ حضرات جو ستون کی حیثیت رکھتے ہیں ان کی نگاہ میں بھی حضرت مولانا کا کیا مقام تھا اور کیا وقار تھا, کیا عظمت تھی. اور اس کے علاوہ بھی جب بھی ان کا آنا ہوا, ہم نے وہاں اپنی آنکھوں سے دیکھا ہے, یہ کوئی خبر نہیں ہے, مشاہدہ ہے, اپنی آنکھوں سے دیکھا ہے کہ وہاں کی اساتذہ کرام انتہائی تعظیم, تقریب اور تبجیل کا ان کے ساتھ معاملہ فرماتے تھے. اور اخیری بات جو میں کہہ رہا تھا کہ اللہ تعالیٰ نے مولانا کو تینوں زبانوں میں مہارت عطا فرمائی تھی, اردو میں بھی تقریراً اور تحریراً اور عربی کے اندر میں بھی تقریراً اور تحریراً. اور دسویں نمبر کے اوپر میں آتا ہے کہ اپنی مادری زبان گجراتی زبان, جہاں اسلامی اسکولوں میں ان کو خطاب کے لیے دعوت دی جاتی, وہ بڑی بے تکلفی کے ساتھ, روانی کے ساتھ گجراتی میں بھی بہتر سے بہتر معیاری زبان کے اندر میں وہ خطاب ایسا ہی کر لیتے تھے جیسا کہ وہ اردو زبان کے اندر میں خطاب کرتے تھے اور عربی کے اندر میں خطاب کرتے تھے. یہ میں نے خلاصہ پیش کر دیا ہے تلک عشرۃ کاملہ, مولانا کی نمایاں زندگی کے یہ دس پہلو ہیں, یہ متن کی حیثیت رکھتے ہیں, شرح کرنے والوں کے لیے اس میں بڑی گنجائش ہے. اب وہ چاہیں جتنی بھی اس کی شرح کر سکے تو حدیث مفصل عظیم مجمل بخا. وآخر دعوانا ان الحمدللہ رب العالمین.
جزاک اللہ مولانا, آپ نے پورا سمندر کو بالکل چمچ میں آپ نے بھر دیا. جزاک اللہ خیر مولانا.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. استاد حضرت مولانا عباس صاحب دامت برکاتہم العالیہ, اینڈ مولانا واز اسپیکنگ اباؤٹ مولانا عبداللہ کپود روی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ. وی ہیو اور نیکسٹ گیسٹ آن دا لائن مولانا عبد الرحمن صاحب لمبادا. مولانا السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ.
جی وعلیکم السلام ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ.
مولانا واٹ این آنر اینڈ ا پرولیج ٹو بی اسپیکنگ ٹو یو دس تھرسڈے ایوننگ اباؤٹ دا لائف آف اور گریٹ اسکالر حضرت مولانا عبداللہ صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ. What are some of your thoughts and your interactions with Maulana Abdullah Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, Maulana?
Yes. It's an honor for me. Jazakallah for having me on. And just want to say, mashallah, Hazrat Maulana was a very gifted personality. He had his nazar over everything. You know, I have met him on many occasions when I traveled to India and then in Canada, and then when he used to come here to Maulana Ismail, his son's house. So, you know, we were very close, and, you know, I used to go to meet him every time he came here. In fact, once in 2002, I spent Ramadan in Canada, in Masjid Abu Bakr. And Hazrat Maulana was there as well. And I remember Hazrat Maulana sat in Atikaf with us as well. And mashallah, we used to hear his mulfuzat. He used to do ta'aleem of fazail sadaqat. And he used to mention, you know, nice stories of his own as well. A very lively personality. And sometimes he used to have a good sense of humor and mention some, you know, humorous, you know, anecdotes as well. I remember while we were in Atikaf, and Hazrat Maulana was reading from Fadail Sadaqat, and the chapter was about Sahaba, generosity and Zuhud. So Hazrat Maulana read from there, and his manner was, he wouldn't just read continuously, he would read a little bit and then explain it and mention his own experiences and then move on, you know, chapter by chapter, bit by bit. So he read some stories about Sahawat, and then I remember, recall in my mind so many years later, that he mentioned two incidents of his own. He said, you know, Sahawat, what do you know about Sahawat? He said, Sahawat is for the Arabs. They are the descendants of Sayyiduna Ibrahim ala Nabiyina alayhi salatu wassalam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sahawat is well known, and that's transferred to the Arabs. So he said, I remember once I went for Umrah. And he said that it was after Asr, maybe a little bit before Maghrib, and I was going towards Haram, and I thought, you know, let me go to this library and check some books out. And he was very fond of libraries. Wherever he would go, he would visit the libraries. He went in Canada, and then from Canada he went to USA just to visit some special libraries in Princeton and Howard and other areas. And he was mentioning, I went to this library, I noticed this, and I saw this kitab, and I saw this Arabic disc over there. So he said, I wanted to check out some kitabs. So I was looking for a particular kutubkhana, and I saw this, you know, a very nice personality. And I asked him that, I thought that he seems a good person, good dress, so he must know. So I said, the Sheikh, can you tell me where Al-Maktabat al-Tijariya is? And he said, yes, you go straight and then you turn left and up the hill and it's on your right. And then he said, but, you know, Maghrib time is close by, so what are you going to do to the Kutubkhana now? Come and do iftar with us. So Hazrat Maulana thought to himself, and then he said, okay. So he went together, and he noticed that that person was taking, you know, riyals out of his pocket and spending here and there and there. Wherever he could see some miskeen, he would pass on. And Maulana says, at that time I understood the meaning of illa man qala bil mali hakaza wa hakaza wa hakaza. Yani an yaminihi wa an shimalihi fi, and everywhere he would spend. So I said, this is what that hadith means, and this is how the Arabs do their sahawat. So he said, I was amazed. And we entered Masjid al-Haram, and then we went to a place, and there was huge, you know, plastic dastarkhan spread out, and we sat there, we started reading Quran, our wazaif and everything. When iftar time was closed, the khuddam came with khajur and zamzam and whatever, and then they did the, you know, iftar. After iftar, he told me that when you finish your Maghrib and Sunan Nawafil, then come to my hotel and you eat with us. So I said, no, I have to go and meet my friends, and, you know, they will be waiting for me. He said, no, you have to eat with us. My hotel is just on Marwa and at so-and-so distance and here, and you just come, you eat quickly, and then you can go, no problem. So Hazrat Maulana said, I said, okay, I will see, inshallah. So he said, after Maghrib, I read my Sunan and my Awabin, and by that time everybody had gone, so I thought, alhamdulillah, mujhe chutti mil gayi. But then when I turned around, there was someone sitting behind me, and he said, come on, Sheikh, you have to come. So I said, no, I have to go to my hotel. He said, la, Sheikh, and I was back. If I don't go with you, I'm going to be slaughtered. I have to come with me. So Hazrat Maulana said that I had to give him company. He went there and went onto the second floor, and oh, there was a huge, massive dastarkhan with rice and meat and chicken and all sort of varieties, and so many mehmans and guests sitting there, and we all ate, and he said, eat this and eat that. And then finally Hazrat said that I said, okay, I'm full now. But when I left, when I was leaving, I asked someone, who is this Sheikh? And he said, he is the owner of Al-Bank Al-Ahli Al-Tijari. And he does this tahawat every day throughout the month of Ramadan, and every iftar he gets these mihmans with all such food. And he said, this is the sahawat of the Arabs. Then when I also mentioned another sahawat qissa, he said, I went to America, and we had dawat at an Arab brother's house. And he just kept putting, you know, food in my plate, food after food, food after food. And then I said, but I can't eat anymore. You know, you have to eat it, you have to eat this, and you have to taste this, you have to taste that, you have to eat some of this. And he said, we ate to our fill. And then I said, Sheikh, this is enough now. He said, la, ya Sheikh. We're not finished yet. I said, why? He said, inna fil batni la khalwa, la tamla'uha illa al-halwa. And then sweet dishes come. And he said, take this sweet dish, and take this sweet dish, and take this sweet dish, a variety of sweet dishes that I couldn't eat anymore. So I said, but Sheikh, I can't eat anymore. And then I started giving me dua, أَكَلَ تَعَامَكُمُ الْأَبْرَارُ وَصَلَّتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And the Arab said, لا يا شيخ, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ كُلُّهَا تَنْزِلْ إِلَّا جِبْرِيلِ حَتَّى نَشْرَبْ شَيْءٍ. So he said, shai comes, said, you can't give this dua until you drink tea. So he said, and tea came, and then we had, you know, tea upon tea, and then he said, now you can give the dua. So Hazrat said, this is the sahawat of the Arabs. We read about sahawat in Fazail al-Sadaqat. What do we know about sahawat? Just read and move on. He said, these are the Arabs, you know, and their sahawat in this manner. So, mashallah, we had good time in i'tikaf. We benefited from Hazrat Maulana a lot. And, you know, when Hazrat would come here, we would invite him for dawat. Sometimes he used to come to my house as well, my father's house. But in fact, my father used to regularly go and visit him. Whenever we find out that Maulana is here, we go to Maulana Ismail's house and visit him, invite him. I remember when he came to my house, and, you know, I have, alhamdulillah, my own personal book in library. So he started looking around, and one new kitab had come at that time, Sharhul Aqidah al-Tahawi, I think it was for Sheikh Shuaib al-Dawud. And Hazrat Maulana started, you know, flicking through it. So he liked it. He said, this is very nice. This is short and concise and very good. So I said, Hazrat, take it. I've just bought it. He said, no. He gave advice to me. He said, you should never give kitab to anyone, because a kitab, once it goes, it never comes back. I said, no, Hazrat, I just bought it yesterday from our local kutubkhana, and I'll get another one tomorrow. You take it from me. So when I insisted, then he accepted and he took it. So he was, you know, very, very fond of books, and he had his, you know, regarding his books, he had his principles. And mashallah, I went to India and I saw the library which he has donated to Karol. It's huge, it's massive. You know, we thousands of books in there for every subject, and amazing how he gathered all those kitabs from around the world, from Beirut and from Pakistan and from, you know, libraries in India and elsewhere. So very fond of kitabs, and mashallah, you know, ilmi personality. When you would sit with him, all you would hear about is, you know, ilm and ulama and kitabs, and then studying and spending your time wisely. And Hazrat Maulana, you know, the speakers, they must be talking about Hazrat Maulana's khidmat in Falahe Darain. And, you know, how Hazrat Maulana came there in 1966. And from then on until about 1996, he stayed there for roughly over just under 30 years. So, mashallah, this huge time, and being a Muhtamim and taking all the headaches and everything, and taking Falahe Darain to another level. And, you know, bringing in Asatiza, top Asatiza from around, you know, Hindustan, and doing so much khidmat. So, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept and reward. I remember another incident, you know, we talk about jinn. So, Hazrat Maulana said, when I came to Falahe Darain Tarqisal, in the beginning, they gave me a house to stay. And one day, I come at 11 o'clock, you know, after chutti, to my house, and my wife was there holding her head in her hand, and she was crying. So I said, who to you? What's up? And she said, well, some of the neighbors came, and they said that, Atana kaya garma rewa, here to jinnar rewa, bhut rewa. What are you doing here? There's jinn in this house. You can't stay here. So Hazrat Maulana said, what jinn? Don't worry about jinn. There's no jinn here. We've been living here for a few days. Have you noticed anything? I haven't noticed anything. Forget it. There's nothing there. And just a little bit of damsham here and there. And alhamdulillah, she was content as well. And Hazrat Maulana said, we stayed in that house for 30 years and nothing happened. No jinn, no boot, nothing. All my children were born there. We spent our life there. And khamukha people darate rehte hain. So you know these jinn stories as well, just to scare people off. As Maulana once mentioned, that you know, I was in Canada, and his son was given a house by the council, rented property from the council in a new area, and there was some water and trees and neighborhood over there, nice place. So they said that in the evening, you know, we see some jinn coming around there, you know, near those trees. So they used to close the curtains, you know, as soon as darkness falls, and really scared, and there was tense. So Hazrat Maulana came in the house, and everybody was tense and closing the curtains quickly. So Hazrat Maulana said, "What's up?" And he said that, you know, the jinn comes over here, so we have to close the curtains quickly. I said, "What jinn?" He said, "At night, you know, this jinn comes and stands over there." So Hazrat Maulana said, "Okay, when he comes, then you must show me, and I'll see what I can do." So after 2-3 days, they saw the jinn. And they said that he's standing over there. I said, "Where is he?" He said, and there was some light flashing, and you could see some, you know, colored person. So they said, "That's the jinn." So the one said, "Take me there." He said, no, I'm not taking you there. You can't go there." So Hazrat, hello, assalamu alaikum.
Maulana?
Assalamu alaikum. Sorry, I got cut off. Hazrat Maulana, you know, he said, "Give me my walking stick." And he said, "I'm going there." So he proceeded. He said, "Don't go there." Everybody was scared. "Why am I going there?" So he went with someone. And there was this colored, huge, giant person standing there. And he had a laptop in his hand. So he said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm a human being." He said, "What are you doing over here?" "I get a very good Wi-Fi connection over here. So I come over here and do my work." So the light of the laptop was flashing on the face. And they were thinking there's some jinn over there. So Hazrat Maulana said, these types of, you know, jinn, bogus stories, people think about it, it's all wham and everything. He was a very courageous and himmati person as well. So he had very, you know, huge courage and everything, mashallah. And this is how, he managed and he looked after Falahi Idara in Tarkiz. And, you know, looking after such darulums and institutes is not easy. It's a struggle. And Maulana went through a lot in the beginning. He had lots of opposition and everything. But he went through the thick and thin. And mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his khidmat and his maqbooliyat and mahbubiyat is all, around the world. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates Hazrat Maulana's ranks in Jannah. And, so these are a few, you know, memories of Hazrat Maulana, my personal, which came to my mind, which I wanted to share with you.
Maulana, JazakAllah so much.
Mashallah, there are plenty of speakers, they will talk about that.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your family. Maulana, JazakAllah so much.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullah.
JazakAllah khairan. Thank you very much for having me on. Shukriya. Assalamu alaikum. Keep me in
wa rahmatullah. Dear respected listeners, that was Maulana Limbada sahab, Damat Barakatuhum from the UK. Maulana is the Sheikh al-Hadith there. And Maulana was sharing some of the humorous incidents about the life of Maulana Abdullah Kapodrawi rahmatullahi alayhi. We take an ad break now. We play the ad breaks. We haven't had an ad break from the time we started. And thereafter, inshallah, we will carry on with the program. Just a reminder, we have 4 clips that we still need to play, inshallah. We have Mufti Mahmoud Badouri, Rahmat Damat Barakatum. We have Maulana Junaid from the At-Tabligh website. We also have Maulana Muaz Kapodrawi, who is the grandson of Maulana, and he gives quite an amazing insight in the English language as well. And we have Mufti Surti, who will be speaking as well. He was a very close person to Maulana as well. So they all be speaking and sharing some amazing incidents. There's so much that we still need to do. Perhaps we need to just maybe do another program in the future. But inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Also next week, inshallah, from 9 to 10, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, we will be doing a program on Maulana Siraj Pakar Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi. Stay tuned, inshallah. If you knew Maulana, give me a call. We could share some of the incidents with the listeners on Radio Islam. And inshallah, we will take it from there. Do stay tuned. We take an ad break. We take the news. And after the news, inshallah, we play you the clips of some of the ulama from the different continents that knew Maulana Abdullah that will be sharing their experiences.